our city, our country, our world. Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder on News Radio WTAM 1100.
It is Will's Ways to Save. Matt Granite, Channel 3's Morning News with me. And bottom line, let me start with what you ended with on your report at WTAM.com. Favorite deal ever. Tell me about this thing.
It's an amazing grab. Anytime where you can get something that's quality, anything that's tech, anything that's wireless, Bluetooth, streaming, and practical, and you can score two of the gadgets I'm going to tell you about today for under $25.
You caught my attention. Tell me about this.
So our music, our streaming, our iHeartMedia app deserves better. And for so many of us, when we're just relying solely upon those terrible speakers in your smartphone, you can do better. You can do better with conference calls when everyone's trying to say, I can't hear you. What's going on in the background? You can also play your music with a little bit more pleasure, in my opinion. If you think about what you listen to and listening to WTAM.com on the go, it's not great out of a cell phone speaker, right, Bill?
Exactly, right.
I mean, you sound good, but it's kind of lame.
You sound great.
Thank you. I think we can elevate that. A little bit more bass, a little bit more treble, Bluetooth streaming that you can attach to a keychain. It's one of the world's smallest speaker systems. Smaller than what would typically fit in the, I'd say, center of the palm of your hand. And more importantly, you get the connectivity to Apple and Android devices. It is an ingenious creation that I tested at the Consumer Electronics Show. It's what we would have called the best stocking stuffer ever if this were Christmas. And more importantly, if you do want to make it feel that way, you can score two of the gadgets that I found today, usually about $50, two for under $25. Why? Well, they're making their entrance into the market for spring. They're trying to create a little bit of Bluetooth bang with the momentum.
Great item and a great deal. Check out the video. Matt explains more. You can see it. Just go to WTAM.com, keyword save. Back here again, same time tomorrow. Matt Granite, follow him on Twitter. Watch him on 3 this morning. Thanks, pal.
Awesome.
Coverage from Goodyear Ballpark on WTAM 1100, home of the Indians, is brought to you by the Claiborne Auto Stores.
You get sports mornings, 15 and 45 past. Mike Snyder is in. Hey, Mike, also coming up at 527, spring training 101 through the eyes, ears, and mouth of Nick Camino, who, by the way, you know, I try and watch expenses. I mean, I go to restaurants where you stand in order. I try and be aware of what you're spending.
He's out
making reservations
is
every
he?
Night.
Have you seen him much at all? I mean, his lifestyle and yours.
I don't want to embarrass
Do you see him like when you're leaving in the morning? Is that when you see him?
Yeah, when I leave, basically he's just getting back. But I pull into the house we rent the other day. The average vehicle for a player out here is a huge pickup truck, okay?
Okay.
So there's this big white F-150, I mean, souped up thing in the parking lot. I thought it was a player. It's Camino.
Is that right?
He rented the most expensive truck I have ever seen.
Is that right?
He needs a stepladder to get up in the thing. But he's Nick Camino.
He's coming home soon, isn't he? I think he's coming.
Well, he's out of money.
There you go. He just drains it dry, doesn't he?
We budget him for 6 weeks. He can't stay here, too.
This is why I've learned when I get a parking receipt in the fall, it takes months for it to get here because they're still working on him. Yeah.
So anyway, spring training 101 with the money guy, Camino at 527.
Right, you guys had to do it from the truck. All right, Bill, let's get to the NFL Scouting Combine 101. The search is on for a quarterback until they get one. That's always going to be the story. Now, the quarterbacks have gathered. You know the names, Darnold, Rosen, Allen, Mayfield. Ironically, the one I think the Browns will take at one, Sam Darnold, is the only one who's not going to throw this week. So what does that mean to you, Hugh Jackson?
No, I mean, again, you know, Sam's making the decision. We wish he would throw, like to see him throw. But at the same time, there's going to be other time. To have an opportunity to watch him work out and do those things. But again, do I wish he was throwing here this weekend? Yes, I do. To watch him compete with the other guys. But at the same time, that's not going to hinder us making a decision about what kind of player he is for our football team.
Well, they'll get official measurements, they'll get all the medical stuff, and they'll get a chance to spend at least 15 minutes with him this week. Quarterbacks will be on the field on Saturday. Later today, we will hear from Browns GM John Dorsey. Hugh does say he expects a decision from Joe Thomas soon. There was a report yesterday that Joe had decided to come back, but until I hear it from Joe, I will believe nothing either way. We didn't hear it from Joe yesterday. Now, Joe's podcast actually does well. He had Johnny Manziel on a guest, and Johnny, in his words, remember that goofy final weekend as a Cleveland Brown, which he was seen in Vegas with that blonde wig and glasses? He shared this story.
So I go to Planet Hollywood. I'm like, you know what? That craps table's calling my name, man. That blackjack table's calling my name because the horseshoe in Cleveland corrupted me. So it's calling my name. So I go and sit down. The guy IDs me. I hand him my ID, and he's like, takes a look at the
because there's TV. So many John
takes
Manziels
a, takes a look
in the
at the
world.
TV right behind me, and there's like an announcement that like my name's on the bottom of the ticker. It's like a brown something, and he's just like, "That's you." I'm like, "Yeah."
Well, he nearly got away with it out there of being identified. He did admit, though, to Joe, who was one of his teammates then, that his actions at the time were selfish and childish. Cavaliers are back in action tonight. They'll host the Sixers at 8. You can hear it right here. This is a possible playoff matchup. And, of course, you know the billboards are out around town. Maybe a landing spot for LeBron down the road. Indians took 2 in Arizona yesterday. They beat the Mariners 4-2. Melvin Upton Jr., a 2-run homer. And they also pounded the Angels 15-3. Ryan Merritt, 1 2/3 innings of good work. Bobby Bradley with a 2-run triple. Tribe scheduled to take on the Dodgers today. Coming up at 5:45, Manziel says that it was actually Hugh Jackson who made sure that Johnny was no longer a Brown. That story at 5:45. Home of the Indians and Cavs. Mike Snyder, News Radio WTAM 1100.
News story today. ICE agents, illegal immigration. Bill Zimpfer joins us this morning. I'm in Arizona. It's obviously a big story here. Bill, good morning. There's some of these sanctuary cities. I think I saw a story. The mayor of Oakland warned illegals, hey, they're coming. Be ready.
Yeah, and California has been the latest target of this, Bill. Good morning. As things begin to ratchet up between the federal government and local municipalities who refuse to cooperate with the federal government to enforce immigration laws, so-called sanctuary cities or states or counties, there are some 300 U.S. cities, counties, or states that adopt sanctuary policies and, in essence, protect these illegal aliens. And the question, Bill, why? Why do local governments not want to cooperate on immigration policy? Because local governments want to reduce any fear of deportation among their residents and possible family breakups. They also believe illegals could be more likely to report crimes if they are not threatened by immigration laws, and also use health and social services and enroll their children in school. So the local governments want to keep these people happy in their community, and the federal government has another idea, saying, we want to get these people, especially if they are convicted criminals, and get them out of the country. That recent sweep that you talked about in California, in Northern California, netted over 100 arrests. And yes, Oakland's Mayor Libby Schaaf tipped off the illegals, saying that this sweep is coming, so get ready or get out of sight. So this is a growing conflict between local municipalities and the federal government.
All right, Bill Zimpfer on the story. Another topic for Rush to talk about, of course, following the news at noon on News Radio WTAM 1100. Thanks, Bill.
You're welcome, Bill.
I'm running down the road trying to loosen my load. I got 7 women on my mind.
Total Drive coverage in Goodyear. Bill Wills, our buddy Nick Camino alongside. Okay, a little Goodyear 101 because we're out here early. Mm-hmm. Next couple of weeks, a lot of Tribe fans will be coming out to spring training. So let's go around the town.
Okay.
You got to eat somewhere.
Got to eat somewhere.
There are burger joints on every corner out here, like there are pharmacies in Cleveland.
Yeah, yeah.
You know where you go? You got Rite Aid. Every corner there's a pharmacy.
Walgreens, yeah.
Walgreens. Here, it's a burger joint.
Yeah.
You know?
I actually, the other day, I sampled a place that's called Sammy's Burgers.
Burgers.
I walked in. I was about to walk out. I give it about a B-minus. It was pretty solid for
near the park?
Near the park. It's right next to a Subway down here. Okay. So yeah, I had to throw that in there. I had to throw the Subway mention.
We'll mention that later.
But Sammy's Burger is very good. There's also this place called The Haymaker, Saddle Mountain Brewery. Those are some good places I know that have like the burgers and kind of like the Americanized
food. They sound newer. I don't recall those.
Yeah, those have come over the last couple of years.
This is typical vacation area because sometimes you'll see a restaurant and it won't be here next year.
That happens.
Hey, didn't we meet here last year and there's no, you know, it just happens.
That happens. So if you're thinking burger, more American food, there you go. Bella Luna.
Bella Luna.
Is Italian if you want that. That's close by. Barbecue. We mentioned Rudy's before we started.
Oregano's. We'll be there for dinner.
Oregano's, best pizza place I've ever been to. That's the best pizza place I've ever been to. So I know you like that. You like that big stuffed pizza, right? It takes about an hour to make. That's your big one, right?
I hate to keep everybody on the table waiting, but you know you got to do
that's
it.
What, right, I know
now
you like.
On your schedule, I know you work on Cleveland time. But you eat, and you are known to have an adult beverage on Phoenix time, right? Yeah. So you don't get out to many breakfast places. So my review, you got it, the Big Bear Diner.
Yeah, Black Bear Diner.
Black Bear Diner. Yeah, that one too. The Black Bear Diner.
That one too.
Big Bear
good.
Went out of business, but go to Black Bear. It's pretty good.
That's true.
You got to get the, but you got to, I was there the other morning, and the line, I mean, it was amazing.
Yeah, little tip for you. If you're going there, don't go Friday through Sunday, or you'll go what you went
good
through.
Point.
So
right.
Try to go like during the weekday or
whatever. That's a Camino tip.
That's a Camino tip.
There's a Cracker Barrel nearby that's the backup.
That's true. Late night hours, Marley's is a fine spot.
Marley's great,
Clubhouse
great
Grill,
idea.
All those types.
Final thing, and guy, or you know, people always ask me about seeing players or autographs. Always be respectful. You may run into them at the Safeway at the grocery store, you know, with their wife. Just be nice.
Yeah,
you know?
It's a small town.
And it's a small town. They're out here living for a couple of weeks. You may see them at a restaurant. I'm in line the other night, or a couple years ago up in Scottsdale. And I'm having a conversation with Randy Johnson.
Wow.
Because we're both waiting on a table.
Okay.
I didn't ask him anything about baseball. I didn't act like I knew him.
Okay.
And we had a great conversation about Scottsdale.
That's pretty cool.
And I just, you know, I just mentioned that because I know I didn't get his autograph. There's no selfie. But it's a nice memory.
It's a nice memory. You don't always have to have the phone in their face and all that type
of
stuff.
It's like when people meet you for the first time.
No.
You just don't, you know,
not
you
like
don't
that.
Do the selfie to say hi.
Bill, pro tip for people that are coming out, though. If you are coming down to spring training, you want to meet the players, you want to get autographs, you don't necessarily have to go to Goodyear Ballpark right away. Where Bill and I are doing the show from is the Indians Player Development Complex. Try to go come here first. That's where they take batting practice. Right. That's where you're going to get your best availability. The ballpark is nice. That's where they play the
absolutely.
Games. But the player development complex, half mile down the road, is the spot.
A nice little walk park there. Come here, especially if you're hanging around where a lot of the guys are leaving. Sometimes they'll pull over and just be very polite and hand them something, and they'll sign it to you. Be very nice about it, and I think they always do a great job. All right, Nick Camino, alongside it's Total Tribe. Well, it was kind of Total Tribe coverage.
Yeah, total restaurant coverage this time.
Look at everything. It's lifestyle. It's culture. WTAM 1100. Total Tribe coverage from Goodyear. Bill Wills, Mike Snyder, and we're joined by Indians Vice President Bob DiBiasio. Hey, Bobby and Mike, and guys, I posted a picture a couple places. You know, it's kind of unique. You come out here for spring training as a fan. You're at the ballpark. You maybe come over to the complex, try and get an autograph. But where I get to walk in and media people and a lot of people in the organization come in, huge wall, Bob, with the different images of the history of this franchise. But I think is so important. I get a chill when I look up there and see that, you know?
I do, too, every day. And I've been around now 40 years with this franchise, growing up with it, obviously, from Lakewood, Ohio. But really, when you think of the context, opening day, April 6th, when we throw that first pitch at 4 p.m. against Kansas City Royals, it will be the first pitch to the 118th season of American League action for the Cleveland Indians. So, obviously, tremendous tradition, a rich heritage of Cleveland Indians baseball. And that mural that we have when you walk into this complex speaks to, you know, from the 1901 when we were part of the charter member of the American League being established and all the great names from 1901 on, including our buddy Bob Feller.
And Mike Snyder, I know connecting generations, we talk about baseball a lot, but Mike, I know it was really special for you when we've had a chance a couple times when we talked to Tito. Of course, we lost him a week or so ago, but really special with the Francona family, Mike Snyder, with the Indians baseball.
Oh, yeah. I mean, growing up and, you know, Tito Sr., I remember his great year in 59, Bobby, when he went with 363, right? Am I right?
Correct.
Okay. I mean, that number kind of stayed in my head. And I was really a little guy then, but it stayed in there. And I go back, and I think baseball, as you talk about it, it does, you go back. The Indians didn't win a whole lot when I was growing up, but I know for myself and my friends, and even for you, actually, but they were still our guys. They were our team, and you know, those memories, they'll never go away. And I know Tito and you know the Francona family. That's why it's so special. And I know we certainly mourn the death of Tito Sr., but boy, he gave us some memories, didn't he?
Well, he sure did. And you know, you and I are near the same age, Michael. So when we were playing against the front steps of the house or up against the brick wall on the playground at school, you fought over, were you Tito Francona or Rocky Colavito stepping it, or Vic D'Avelio, right?
Yep.
I mean, that's who you argued about, who you wanted to be with your buddies. And Tito, it was just such joy to watch Terry and Tito the last 5 years when they'd come to the ballpark. And it brought an extra bounce to the step of Tito, the original Tito. And again, it was a joyous thing to watch those two interact the past 5 years, and he will be deeply missed.
Bobby, I wanted to ask you, you know, spring training for baseball, you know, for fans and everyone, it's a joyous time. But for the players, I think sometimes we lose sight too. We think of football training camp and all the contact and all of that. For baseball, though, well, the guys are, you know, more accessible at the ballparks this time of year. But it also is a time where, and you've been through this so often, this is serious business for these players right now, gearing up for the season, for some guys trying to make the team, other guys trying to do it again for another year. There's really a lot of work going on that maybe we don't really pay as much attention to because it is, quote, spring training.
Well, it is Groundhog Day. I mean, they come here and they get their work done. They work awfully hard every single day. Every day stays the same for these gentlemen. Again, as you mentioned, Michael, there's different phases of players here. There's the kids who are in their first big league camp, and all of a sudden, you know, they're in the same dugout as Terry Francona, and now I have a chance to open the eyes of the manager of the Major League Baseball team because he's never got to see me play because obviously I'm down in the minors and he's with the big league team. So this is my chance to show him what I'm made of. And there's other guys at the tail end of their careers trying to hang on to show the manager that they still have something of value to add to a baseball team that's trying to win a World Series. And then you have your guys like the Lindors and Ramirez's and the Cody Allens and Corey Klubers and Carrascos that are part of the core of this baseball team that you know they're going to be a part of it, who are just methodically throughout the month of February, the months of February and March, every day coming to the complex, getting their work in to get strong to play 162 games in about 185 days.
Indians Vice President Bob DiBiasio alongside. We're talking Tribe and Goodyear on News Radio, WTAM 1100. Thanks, Bobby D. Total Tribe coverage from Goodyear on News Radio, WTAM 1100. This is Bill Wills, a guy who has been responsible for a lot of names that we have talked about over the years, although he is humble about it. It is Brad Grant. He is alongside. We're going to talk about some scouting in this organization. First of all, thank you for your time. And professionally, a congratulations, okay?
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
10 years or so over the amateur draft, now vice president of baseball operations. Let me pick your brain a little bit, though, about players, because I was looking through. If you look at a 40-man roster right now, 15 or so on your watch, and I know you're going to be humble about this, but I've been interviewing people like Lonnie Chisenhall for years, Frankie Lindor, Tyler Naquin, Zimmer, Cody Allen. All these guys, and many more, at some point you had your eye on. Congratulations.
Yeah, that's the fun part, right?
Right.
That's why coming to spring training and being here for 6 weeks now and walking around and watching that, and then watching it on the minor league fields, too, and the backfields, too, and see what's back behind it is the really enjoyable part about spring training.
Tracking down these guys is fascinating to me. I mean, the hours that are spent, the movies that have been made, the stories that have been told about finding people in baseball, it's fascinating.
Yeah, I mean, it is. You watch Moneyball and you watch Trouble with the Curve and, you know, all
is it really that way? Are you really sitting in the stands with four other guys? All right, I'm going down the road to see somebody else.
You are. I mean, I can tell you stories of standing in the back of a pickup truck at a game in Arkansas for a high school pitcher to be able to see over the top of the windscreen. So there's 50 scouts in back of trucks, and it really is what you see in the movies.
About every parent who has a kid playing ball probably thinks at some point they could be a major leaguer. If you're really at that level, somebody finds you, right?
Yeah, especially in today's world, yeah. I mean, in today's, just with the amount of information that's out there, the speed in which it comes now, it's not a diamond in the rough anymore. Everybody knows who all the players are. Now it's trying to find that piece of information that the other 29 teams don't have or that can separate you out. So whatever that is, Whatever you can do to find that is what's going to help you. But that takes work, and that's what our scouts are really good at, is unearthing that piece of information.
Here's the analytics question, but I'll ask it in this way. It's one thing to look at a young man's numbers, but as a scout, you're putting your name on a product because I guess you go sell that then, and a part of selling it to the people above you, you got to get to know that young man and how he reacts in situations, which I can't tell on paper. Is that fair?
That's fair. Okay. So the way we look at it, it's very fair. The analytics tell us what's happening, and the analytics are really good at telling us what's happening. The how and why, though, you still need that human element. And that's what our scouts are really good at. So the character assessment to the player, really getting to know that player, interviewing people all around that player, and then telling too why those tools are playing, what's happening with that spin rate, what's happening with that launch angle, what's happening with that exit velocity, where they can actually see it in real time and then either challenge it or give it credibility.
Brad Grant alongside for a couple more minutes here talking Tribe, Vice President of Baseball Operations for your Cleveland Indians. You mentioned launch angle and stuff. A couple of years ago, there was some changes in the bat as far as what was being used. Was that big of a deal, or did you guys already kind of figure that in to what you were looking at with numbers?
Yeah. You're able to, again, it goes back to that. So they're saying, here's what's happening, and then now we're looking back at it and saying, here's how and why it's happening. So we were seeing it starting to happen, and then you layer on the analytics, and now it's like, okay, now it's definitely happening. But we can see it. We can see the change. We can see the trend. As the more baseball you watch, the more you can see those things happen.
One of the things for fans, and that, you know, a guy like you who has been a big part of the success of this organization and getting these players up here also, we may not see as a fan so much. And also, as a fan, you don't get a chance to see what I get to see with this complex, which is just amazing. We've been out here 10 years. Yeah. And because of a relationship with the city, they've reinvested to where this complex has gotten bigger and better as you're attracting free agents. Or, I'm guessing, it's a better opportunity to keep working guys out that you find, right?
Yeah, working guys out. And then, I mean, from a recruiting standpoint, too, we're recruiting against, on the international side, we're recruiting against 29 other teams. And then, when we're drafting high school players, we're trying to get them away from college scholarships and away from campuses that have unbelievable facilities now. So to have this as part of that, and then to have it for a training center for our players to be here year-round and work out year-round here is pretty amazing.
You ever keep track of the most miles you put on a car in a year? Is there a record? Is there,
I'm a flyer, so I add a million miles now just on United, and I've now gotten, I think, probably a half million on all the other ones. So it's time for my body to stop flying.
You're that guy.
I'm that guy. Well, my family won't travel in the airport with me. They hate to walk through an airport with me.
Because you know where you're going. You're in a hurry. Let's go, right?
I forget them. They don't even get past the security line. I'm already gone.
Is 24th, I think, year. Is that right, with the organization?
Yeah, 25th year.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
I appreciate your time. And as a fan, we appreciate all you've done, too. Brad Grant, now the Vice President of Baseball Operations for your Cleveland Indians. Thank you, pal.
Thank you, Bill.
Total Tribe coverage from Goodyear on News Radio WTAM 1100. Matt Belisle alongside, signed as a free agent. First of all, it's good to see you, and welcome with a capital W, because it's a baseball business, it's a people business, but when you're signed, that means somebody wants you, and the organization does. So congratulations, first of all.
Well, thank you very much for that. It is an honor to be wanted. So
what's Terry and Chris and the guys told you so far? It's kind of an interesting situation, I guess, huh?
They just welcomed me and were excited that I was in camp, expressed the excitement in that regard, and said, let's get you ready, get your feet on your ground, and go do what you do. Welcome to the Cleveland Indians. And it was a very easy transition to get in here the first couple of days, and everything I have heard about this crew seemed to ring true the first few days as well.
That's good to hear. And just as a side note, I've mentioned this picture a couple of times that it's in the studio out here, my palatial studio, as you right away noticed that. I mean, you have an appreciation for this, the heritage of this game, history.
I absolutely do. I still... look up and see what I get to do for a job every day, and it gives me a little chill. I've been wanting to do this since I was a kid, and I guess the kid never left me. And when I just remember learning and looking at old cards and clips of the old greats, and how can you not get a little chilled when you realize we're doing the same thing that they're doing, and just the rich history, I guess, sure, of this small fraternity.
Well said. Texas guy. A lot of baseballs come out of Texas, too. Austin, did you grow up? Was that childhood or all the way through, or what?
That's correct. Born and raised. Was there quite a while, and then transitioned to Fort Worth, Texas, to train with some people up there that I thought would help extend my career.
Well, Texas, Mike Hargrove, there's so many in this organization that have ties to Texas. And an off note, I fell in love with Austin. Had a chance to go and play some golf out at Barton Creek, which is near Austin. That hill country, that is just, it's beautiful country down through there. Really
it's
is.
Beautiful. Most people think it's going to have a tumbleweed and and some dust. But when you're in the hill country there, it's rolling hills, beautiful lakes and rivers, and I think a lot of people have caught on because it sure is influxed with.
We on that point, we fly into Austin, and you're right. I see tumbleweeds, and I'm like, okay, I'm in Texas. Where's the hill country? Right. And within 30-40 minutes, it is absolutely gorgeous out towards, I guess, Johnson City, out towards Lyndon, you know, former President Johnson's place. Now, it's a beautiful country.
There you go. That's really the hill country. So I'm glad you've experienced it.
We did. Last year, we experienced you, too, some in the other organization with the Twins. Great, great run there.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It was a very fun team, and it was a good run. And this was a formidable opponent to go against. So,
well, we like to think so, but believe me, we want to win the last game. That's kind of the key in this organization.
100%. And, you know, that's the other reason why I chose here. You know, that's what we all want.
You got a couple of good guys around you, at least I think personally. Carl Willis, who's been with the former in the Reds organization for a while. And, of course, Scott Atchison in the bullpen as well, who pitched here as well. So some good guys around you, you think, too?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I actually knew Atch a little bit from the Fort Worth area prior to, and I've heard a lot about Willis, and look, Cleveland brings in good people. That's what we've heard, and that's what they do. So they're baseball people, but they're also good individuals, Matt, and I value that.
Matt Belisle, for just one more minute. Atchison, you know, he was doing a lot of charting and scouting, helping with pitching the last couple of years, which was a great – it was a great help to everybody in the organization. I think they spotted that, and that's when they moved him up into that bullpen job, too. So we're happy for him.
I think that's a great move, too. A guy fresh off the game, understands how to pitch, has that background, and then can transition into this role. I think he'll have a lot of success.
And training-wise, good year, this area? You're familiar, Arizona, much?
Somewhat. Yeah. You know, I transitioned from Tucson to here when I was with the Rockies. So I was over there in the Scottsdale area, Talking Stick.
Nice place.
Arizona's Arizona. You know, it all somewhat feels the same.
Unless you're stuck in Scottsdale finishing golf and you try and make the drive back, the traffic can be a little much out
it's
here,
not
right?
Preferable if you're in that spot.
But it's a good problem to have. Matt Belisle from Goodyear, spring training, Total Tribe coverage on News Radio WTAM 1100. Matt, again, thank you for your time and congratulations. God bless.
I appreciate it. Great.
News Radio WTAM 1100. This is Bill Wills. Total Tribe coverage from Goodyear. One of our faves, of course, is Sandy Alomar. 11 seasons with the Tribe. You know the history. You've got a memory of Sandy and, of course, a big part of this organization day after day out here. Good to see you, first of all. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
I asked you off the air, did you ride the bike in? No, it's too cold out here right now, right?
He's kind of miserable. I mean, when you get up in the morning, you want to make sure you warm up and stuff like that. He's in the 30s in the morning, so he's kind of – It's not fun to be riding like that.
I've run into a couple of guys over the years who, out of the blue, will say to me, you know, I met Sandy Alomar the other day in a park because he was getting his bike ready. I mean, you're really into that, aren't you? You're enjoying it.
It gets my mind relaxed. I also keep you in shape. There's a lot of, you know, I have many injuries. So, like, the lifting part is kind of like halfway out. So I might as well just do, cycling and stuff like that.
Special year in a couple of ways I want to ask you about. Let's talk about Puerto Rico first.
Yes,
on
sir.
The personal standpoint, one can only imagine what people are still going through there. This organization goes there for a couple of games. Ironically, it was already scheduled before this. Talk about that some, the experience. What you're hoping to get across?
Well, I really haven't been there yet. I was supposed to go there for the press conference, and I have a problem with the ticket issues and wasn't able to go, but it's been hard. It's a tough road ahead for the Puerto Rican, you know, community.
Sure.
And my parents, our house is fine. We have, our house are prepared for storms and stuff like that. The problem is the communication and the power at that point, at the beginning. There's no communication, no power. I couldn't communicate with my parents for the first couple of weeks. And once you establish communication, then you feel much better about the situation, the deliveries, and you know, sure, people be able to deliver stuff. But
sure,
so many issues with the power, because
infrastructure.
Yeah,
right?
The infrastructure is bad. Yeah. And the people that have power generators, they were dying because you can, they're not designed to, unless you have a commercial one, just to use it every day. So the Indians were able to help us out to deliver generators to our families. And that was a huge help, because without that, there would have been remote times.
Robbie, early on, got a chance to go in. He posted a lot of pictures, and it just, it's just stunning. I mean, you just can't imagine, unless you're living in that, you know, to go through it, I guess, right?
Yes. One of the things, like, when we started communicating with our parents, they didn't want us to go because it's more people you got to feed. And,
good point, yeah.
And, you know, the thing that they had no air conditioning, you know, we could so accustomed on good things and easy things over here.
Take it for granted.
You
right?
Take it for granted, exactly. So, like, and that was number one thing. We wanted to take our family out of there for the time being.
Right.
Until things got settled. So my brother, you know, actually, he went over there because he had a lot of free times, and he was able to coordinate with his friends transportation. That was hard because there was no street lights. They had a lot of accidents because people were just running red lights. Well, actually, there were no street lights. Nobody knew when to go. So there was a few accidents. As a matter of fact, one of our coaches from the Texas Rangers, mother, you know, she was killed in one of those accidents. So, like, it's unfortunate, the situation. But everything was so dark that people were afraid to go out at night.
Baseball is so important to everybody, but especially on that island, if you will. So that game, even though there's a lot of serious stuff going, maybe it'll be a time to help take the mind off what's been going on.
Yeah, I think things are getting slowly better. Yeah. It's not as bad as it was, yeah, but there's still a long ways to go. And, you know, to bring joy to the people over there, it'd be great. I mean, to get their mind away from all that devastation. You know, a couple of baseball games might not mean a lot, but, you know, in the mind of all those people that suffer so much, I'm sure they get to enjoy a couple of Major League Baseball games. That'd be great.
Good chance for you, Frankie Lindor, so many other people with ties. Mm-hmm. And you know, you got to think, there'll be a kid in the stands who's looking out and thinking, I want to do that, right?
Oh, yes. I wish when I play, I had a chance to play in my own country as a Major League Baseball player. That would have been a lot of fun. Those games in Montreal play over there, I never had the chance to go, so... it's an opportunity for me as a coach to go there and be able to coach in front of my countrymen and, sure, you know, the fans over there. So it'd be great.
So between you and Baerga, is half the crowd going to be asking for tickets or what's
up? Baerga already got a stadium sold out.
they need to play an extra game just to cover his will call, right?
Yeah, that's correct. He already got the game sold out. He got all the tickets, so I don't even know what I'm going to do.
Sandy Alomar, for just another minute, if you don't mind. Look, another great summer of connection with Jim Thome as well, into the Hall of Fame. What a special summer to be for everybody in the organization, too, right?
Absolutely. I'm so thrilled that Tommy's in the Hall of Fame, and I wish Omar was there, too. Yeah. Hopefully in the near future he'll be in. But Thome is one of my favorite guys in baseball. Very humble, and he's a genuine person. And you see people like that perform and going to a level, to elite level, you just feel like much, you know, so happy for him and his family.
You know, to reinforce that, I had a chance when he came back the final time with the Indians, and it was late September. I came down and he gave me 5 minutes, and we did an interview, just talking. And you kind of knew then the way he was talking, he knew the career was winding down. I went back and played the same interview when the Hall of Fame was announced. He answered the questions the same way, just that same that same tone, and that was years ago. You know what I'm talking about.
That's him. That's him. He was the same guy when we roomed 1 year in spring training, kind of like he was a real young kid. And I said, you can stay with me if you want to. Yeah. He came over. And then, and now, in between and now, he's still the same guy. Hasn't changed a bit.
neither of you. You're polite. You're kind with your time. You're a pro's pro. We really appreciate it. Looking forward to the year and winning that last game in postseason would be fun, right?
Oh, that'd be a tremendous amount. Close that book, man. It's like it's being a never-ending book. We need to get that done.
He is a member of the Puerto Rican Sports Hall of Fame, mm-hmm. Sandy Alomar. Thanks for your time. Appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you, guys.
Complete Cavaliers coverage on News Radio, WTAM 1100. Cavs Sixers, 8 o'clock at the Q tonight. John Michael will call it. Mike Snyder before, during, after the game. All brought to you by Levin Furniture this morning. Our preview, the preferred home furniture and mattress supplier to the Cleveland Cavaliers. Morning, John.
Morning, guys.
76ers tonight. Couple questions. Embiid, I guess there's a could tonight be the night we see him in the for the Sixers?
Yeah, likely we will. I mean, and Joel Embiid has been sensational this season. A big reason why the Sixers are sitting in sixth place. I mean, a team that for years has been on the outside looking in, trying to rebuild. Embiid this season is averaging 24 points, 11 rebounds. But it's a balanced attack for the Sixers. I mean, it's a team that has six players averaging in double figures in scoring, so they certainly spread it around. Like I said, Embiid has been a monster when he's been healthy. He's been able to stay healthy for a majority of this season, and it's likely the seven-footer will be in the middle. We'll also get a look at the rookie Ben Simmons, who's having a nice year. I mean, he's struggling shooting, but boy, Simmons, he puts up the statistics, 17 points per game, 8 rebounds, 7 assists, one of those new breed point guards, a long type player. He had an injury, of course, his first season, but he's back and playing some strong basketball. So this is an interesting team. They get up for the moment. I mean, they're going to be on national TV tonight. Man, it's been a long time, you know, since this team has ever been featured in a national game. So it should be a beauty. It's a young team that's going to be fired up. It should be a fun one tonight at the Q.
And, John, when you look at the standings, a possible opening round playoff preview.
Yeah, they're sitting right there, Michael. I mean, the Cavs are in third. The Sixers tied for sixth place. I mean, they're four games over 500. They're only three or so games behind the Cavaliers. It's fairly tight right now still, throughout those Eastern Conference standings, really 3 through 8. So a lot of shuffling can take place. So these games are important. You know, the Cavs trying to figure some things out offensively. They were terrific against Brooklyn with a 129-123 victory two nights ago. LeBron did his thing, another triple-double, as he averages a triple-double for the month of February. But defense, something that had been trending in the right direction, you know, wasn't exactly terrific against those Brooklyn Nets. So, you know, a work in progress for the Cavaliers, trying to get themselves where they need to be. Another test against a Sixers team that, like the Nets, plays hard for their head coach in Brett Brown. And like I said, this should be a fun one. I'm looking forward to this here tonight.
You know, John, you're right. They gave up 123 to Brooklyn, and you look back at that, that's got to get tightened up. But I think one thing the other night, beyond all what LeBron does all the time with triple-doubles and what he's been doing, has been amazing. It was very nice to see the young guys all hit big shots down the stretch of that game, from Nance to Clarkson and then Rodney Hood hit what really proved to be the biggest shot of the night.
Really well said, Mike. And I thought the Nance, you know, about an 18-footer from the right side with 90 seconds left and the Cavs down, that he shot with just a load of confidence. Like, that's what he does all the time. It was a big-time shot, a gutsy shot for him as he finished with 10 and 10. Clarkson hit that big three from just left of center. And then Hood, as you said it, the traditional three-point play on a mid-range jumper where he got knocked down late in that ball game. All those shots came within the last 2 minutes of play. So, well said, Mike. I mean, this is part of that development of these guys not only becoming Cavaliers, but becoming ready for the postseason. And, you know, outside of George Hill, not a ton of experience. I mean, Rodney Hood got a taste of it last year with Utah. Nance and Clarkson have never been in a playoff game. So in a clutch spot, again, I know it's the Nets and I know it's February, but coming down the stretch, Toronto's riding with these guys, and they're making the big shots, as you alluded to. How about, Mike, four players off the Cavs bench in double figures? I mean, when's the last time that's happened? Korver had 18, Clarkson and Hood 14, Nance that 10-10 game. So, again, you know, they're trending in the right direction, I think. And, you know, guys have said it, Mike. It's almost like we're in March now, but it feels almost like October, November. They're almost back in training camp right now, trying to get themselves where they need to be with this. It feels like a completely revamped roster moving forward. And like I said, I think the early returns have been good, and they seem to be trending in the right direction.
John Michael calls it 8 o'clock tonight from the Q. Jim Jones will be with him, and he'll be with us tomorrow morning to talk Cavs and the game tonight and look ahead to the Nuggets 2 on Saturday. John Michael, complete Cavaliers coverage. Thanks, pal.
All right, guys, take care.
Total Tribe coverage from Goodyear on News Radio, WTAM 1100. This is Bill Wills. Mike Clevenger alongside. Good to see you, first of all. I appreciate your time.
No problem. Thank you. Good to see you.
What'd you learn about Mike Clevenger last year? I mean, as a professional player, as pitching, what did you learn? What'd you take away from the season?
I think I found a better way just to capitalize from mistakes. I think it was more just, you know, the experience of seeing why I was making certain mistakes and where I was going wrong and understanding why, not just, you know, getting it pointed out. And I think that went a long way.
Situational mistakes, pitches.
Oh, there was an array.
I mean, just learning. That's what I'm trying to understand. Yeah.
Throughout a year's or, you know, 6 month season, it's an array of things. So, I mean, it goes from whether it's me thinking, like, in my internal thought process, I'm thinking about mechanics to, you know what, I was bad execution or that was bad pitch selection. So it kind of varied.
Terry Francona this morning with me also, when I asked about you, said, number one, he came in great shape into camp for you. So off season, talk about what's the off season like for you?
Oh, I found this new trainer that's been real awesome down in Tampa, Florida, Diesel Fitness, Phil Whalen. But it's been a lot of body awareness stuff. So like the first 2 weeks I was there, we didn't pick up a weight. Picked up some sticks that were like 2.5 pounds to use for movement stuff, movement patterns. But it was really just like, I mean, simple things. Like if you think about it, like one of the first tests he asked me to do is, can you raise your big toe and keep the rest of them on the ground? I'm like, I got, you know, size 15 feet. And like, I'm like these long toes. I'm like, no way. I was like, I can't control one of them at a time. He's like, okay, try to spread them. I'm like, no, I can't do that either.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and when it started there, and then just by every lift was barefoot and fine. Like, I mean, I don't have good arches in my feet, and I always thought I needed just orthopedics put in my shoes. But he's like, you know, there's a way to correct everything. And this has been, you know, a science behind, you know, the art of body awareness. It's been used in Taekwondo and different martial arts forms for years, and now it's just now creeping in the sports world. And then I get here in spring training, and all the stuff I learned in the offseason, I see, like, different dudes sprinkled around the clubhouse and the weight room doing it, and I'm like, starting to catch on.
Good for you, because that shows, hey, you're a professional baseball player. Your body is your franchise. This is this is who you are, and learning whatever the latest is, it can help you, right?
Right,
good
exactly.
Yeah. Let me ask you something about that in two things. One, we saw Kipnis working through injuries. He talked about trying to learn more. When you go into the weight room, forget what you can bench press, flexibility, and long-term and all. And also with pitching, there's a good argument. It starts from the legs. Yeah. You know, you look at some of the – Tom Seaver comes to mind. I mean, some of the great pitchers over the years, that leg work is a key, right?
Yeah. That's
that strength.
It goes legs, core, and then to your arm. The arm's probably the last component of pitching.
And you literally started there with the big toe.
Mm-hmm.
that's pretty cool. Schedule-wise, how you doing? How you feeling right now as far as where you think you should be?
Oh, I'm good.
All good?
Yeah, no, so far so good.
We all had a little bad taste in our mouth after last year, and I think Terry addressed that, of course, with you guys as well, and it seems like the attitude is, look, let's just get back out there and get at it again, right?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think, and a little bit more of an extended off season just makes it a little bit that much more antsy and anxious to get back out there.
Mike Clevenger, I appreciate your time. Thank you so much. I'm going to try that thing with a toe, too, when I get time this morning. Mike Clevenger alongside Total Tribe coverage from Goodyear, WTAM 1100. Ty Van Berkel alongside from out here in Goodyear. Bill Wills, Mike Snyder as well. Ty, good to see you, first of all. I know it's early, but, of course, you're a hitting coach. You're in early anyway,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, thanks, Bill. Yeah, I'll go from here to the batting cages.
Hey, I want to ask you a couple things. I spent some time the other morning talking a little bit about hitting with Yonder Alonso, and he talked about just going back and redoing some things and trying to lift the ball more. And that obviously helped him last year, right? And he's in camp, of course, with his big signing in the offseason.
Yeah, no doubt. He's really kind of revamped his swing a little bit just with some subtle changes, using his lower half more. He's incorporated a leg kick and really got the loading mechanism tied in with his hand, so yeah. He's really got some good rhythm and timing, and I think it just kind of put his swing more on a natural plane to get the ball elevated more.
And he, Mike Snyder, I wrote down the word patient, which I'm guessing you would tell almost any hitter at the plate sometime. That's one of the key words, right?
Patience. Yeah, no doubt. I mean, get a good pitch to hit.
Ty, your job is so complex, but can you teach a basic approach, or do you really have to tailor things to each individual?
Well, I mean, you really tailor things to each individual. I mean, there's some, you know, some absolutes and some basics as far as approach. But, you know, the guys that I think have that aggressive mindset, I think leads to more patience because you're looking to attack a particular pitch where you can, you know, get your body into a leveraged position. And just instinctively, you realize that that's not the pitch when it's not there. And you know, guys that really focus on that seem to have more patience, you know, outside of that area. And I think sometimes guys looking for the perfect pitch and saying, you know, make it be a good pitch, I think they get a little more on the defensive side and there's less conviction with the swing.
Have you seen your job change much, really? Well, you've been, this is your sixth year with the Tribe. Have things changed a lot from that first year that you were here, Ty?
No, I mean, I would say just in, as a whole in baseball, there's more information available, more data, more, you know, it just keeps getting more progressive and, you know, just things, more tools that you can utilize to, you know, to grow from.
Ty Van Berkley, a hitting coach alongside for another minute. I want to ask you about those tools kind of segueing during a game. You know, baseball's all about adjustments, which we know. As a fan, I know Edwin's a DH. Maybe he's got some more time. We'll see him go underneath. You hear about maybe he looked at something on video, get some more swings in. How much adjusting is done during a game like that for a guy as far as information?
Well, I think you learn from your last at-bat. You guys have access to video so they can kind of go in and look and see how a pitcher's trying to attack them individually. You know, sometimes the pitch will be inside, and you'll go down and look, and the catcher's set up outside. He just didn't hit his spot. So, you know, just knowing that as a hitter and not thinking, oh, they're going to try to pound me inside, you know, it helps. There's value to that.
It's early spring training. We're the media, so we overanalyze everything. But there's a couple names. Kipnis, obviously, so far, doing well. Let's keep that going. But Bobby Bradley seems to be getting a lot of attention. I think it was a two-run triple yesterday. I mean, some of these early names, you start to see some, too.
Yeah, I'm looking at some of these young kids. There's some good players there coming up, and that's really comforting, you know, to know that there's some depth in the system and that, you know, if there's injuries, you got guys that you think, you know what, this kid's going to be pretty good. So, yeah, it's nice to see some of these young kids and watching them play, and, you know, they're doing well.
Ty Van Berkley alongside, thank you for your time. Good luck this year. We appreciate it, okay?
Thanks, Bill.
Thank you, partner. Ty Van Berkley alongside from Goodyear on News Radio, WTAM.
Thank you, Ty.